Well, is that your testimony tonight? Lord, I give myself to thee. I appreciate that so much. God bless you all. And it's so good again to be here Saturday night. And God has been good. Thank you for the wonderful food, the wonderful accommodations. There's something about being in a camper, a trailer, the rain coming down. Boy, it just makes you sleepy. But God's been good. It's been a great day. Thank you so very, very much. And God has been certainly good to us. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. If you brought a Bible, I would invite you to find 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And then we're going to read a few verses toward the end of this chapter and then into chapter 3. I look forward to the Lord's Day. Sundays are always exciting. They're different for me now. I've pastored, and there's a lot going on. And so this will be the fifth week, I think, that I've not pastored on a Sunday. And so it's kind of different for me in my preparation and thought. But I look forward to tomorrow and preaching and getting the mind of the Lord for the day tomorrow. You know, the beautiful thing about Sunday is there's just so many things you don't have to do. You ever think about that? Just the things you don't have. I mean, there's been excitement around the parsonage today. They were cutting trees down since this morning. I got to watch them some, and that's exciting. And then some big things fell down, and they're chopping it up. And now there's a big pile of stuff. Thank God we don't have to fool with that tomorrow, Brother Ziegler. Isn't that exciting? You and the men can kind of tackle that this week and get in there and clean all that up. But tomorrow you don't even have to worry about it. That's a beautiful thing. And I thank God for the Lord's Day and look forward to that. I hope you'll be much in prayer. And God will give us a great day. If this is like normal, there'll be people here tomorrow morning that haven't been here at all in the meeting, perhaps. And they'll come to church. And I pray God will help us and just give us the mind of the Lord and help us to have a good time together in His presence. Stand with me if you're able. Reverence of God's Word to change your position. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 14 is where we're going to begin reading. And then we'll kind of move into chapter 3 as well. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And I, brethren, could not speak as unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos. Are ye not carnal? I want us to bow our heads together tonight, and let's invite the Lord to just have His way at this part of the service. Father in heaven, we've come to this time tonight where you've ordained the foolishness of preaching for people to be saved. We're so thankful for your word tonight that speaks truth. I pray you would help us as we endeavor to share this truth you've laid in our heart for this Saturday night. I pray, Lord, you would help us to preach as only you can help us, and help us to share that which you would want us to and to refrain from that which you would not want us to. Lord, help each one of us to be obedient to thee as you would speak to us. Lord, help us to say that yes to your will and your way. And Father, we'll thank you and we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Timothy Treadwell, whose story was captured in 2005, he spent 13 summers with bears in the Alaskan National Park and Preserve. And despite multiple warnings that his close interactions with the bears were unsafe, he came to think that the bears had trusted him somehow. Yet he and his girlfriend Amy were killed and eaten by a bear in 2003. Kellyanne Waltz, age 37, was killed in her Pennsylvania home after being mauled to death by her pet black bear, Teddy, while attempting to clean his cage. Kelly had tossed some food to the other side to distract Teddy, but the bear instead attacked her and killed her instantly. September the 5th, 2006, you might know this story. 23-year-old Patrick Von Allman. He's from Lanesville, Indiana, not terribly far from here. In 2006, he was crushed to death by his pet 14-foot python. Just the other day, Dan Brandon of Hampshire, Britain, was found crushed to death in his bedroom as his pet 14-foot python laid next to him. It was on February the 24th of 2010 that a 30-year-old male orca named Tillicum killed a trainer at the SeaWorld in Orlando, Florida. They say that 12,300-pound whale pulled the female trainer into the water while she was talking to visitors and began thrashing her around until she died. I can go on and on and on tonight. You say, what's the point, preacher? I'll tell you the point. One of the very common features of each one of these stories is the fact that each one of them did exactly, I'm talking about the animals, the reptiles, the snakes, each one of them did exactly what they were supposed to do. You see, their master designer gave them a nature to do what they did. You know, it's the same way with people. You see, every one of us have a nature that causes us to do certain things. There is the natural man. This natural one relates to our nature. You see, the natural man was originally created with God's spirit in him, but now he is dead, though physically alive, because of Adam's sin. And by his own choice, the natural man refuses the new birth through Christ. In 1 Corinthians 15, the Bible says, "But for since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." You see, one writer said this natural man is unregenerate. He has not become morally, spiritually, or physically improved. He has not been revived. He's not been reawakened or reinvigorated from spiritual death. And as a result, he is devoid of the Spirit. And he has no appreciation for the gospel of Jesus Christ. For everything in him responds and gravitates to that fallen nature. He has no regard for God or his ways. That's the natural man. Now just stay with me here, an introduction. Just stay with me for a few moments. There is also the carnal man. There's also the carnal man. One writer said he is generate. In other words, he has become or has been made morally or spiritually or physically improved. In other words, he has received the new birth through Christ. However, he lives much like the unregenerate. He is a believer yet with childish ways. You see this in a jealous or sectarian spirit. An immature Christian lives more for human opinion rather than for Christ. And he's inclined more to please man instead of pleasing God. You see, the carnal nature sows to the flesh. The carnal man looks for quick results that require little or no sacrifice at all. To be carnal means to remain in our human nature. And God never intended for us to remain in our human carnal nature, but rather to be spiritual. And I can go on and on. But there's also the spiritual man. This individual is regenerate. They're delivered and they're set free from that Adamic nature, the fallen nature, and they possess spiritual life. They're maturing in their walk with God. He is concerned with pleasing God and totally committed to God's work in his kingdom. I've given you those three thoughts: the natural, the carnal, the spiritual. Now, young people and ladies and gentlemen, I want you to listen to me carefully tonight, because inside of every one of us are one of those natures. Inside everybody in this room, you have one of those natures inside you. You say, well, how do I know what nature I have, Brother Durkee? I'm going to give you tonight the ABCs of our nature. And I'm as convinced as I stand here tonight that by these ABCs, I could tell you what nature you have inside you. Frankly, others can tell you what nature you have inside you. You will certainly be able to know what kind of nature is inside you. Because our nature determines some things. This is pretty simple come up. But I think it's true. We need to hear this. I'm calling it the ABCs of our nature, if you're keeping record. The ABCs of our nature. You see, your nature determines several things. The first thing your nature determines is your nature determines your appetite. That's the A, by the way. Your nature determines your appetite. You tell me what your appetite is. You let me watch you what you're hungry for, and I'll tell you the kind of nature you have. If you would be honest with yourself tonight and begin to evaluate what you have an appetite for, spiritually speaking, you'll be able to tell yourself. You'll be able to know what kind of nature. The natural that you're born with, the carnal, or the spiritual. You see, just think about the things that you give your animals to eat for a moment. How many have a pet? Let me see your hand. You have pets, okay? We've got dogs. They're my son Derek's. They're his German shepherds. You know what we feed our German shepherd? We don't give him a salad. You know, our German shepherd's not interested in a head of lettuce. If he saw a head of lettuce, he might bat it around a little bit, and you know, but that's not going to, you know, we don't put down a head of lettuce and say, I hope you enjoy supper. No, we shoot a deer. And we take its hindquarters, and it's dinner time. Man, he loves that. That's incredible. Or we go to the butcher and we get a big femur from a cow. And we give that to him. Man, he, why is that? Why does he refuse the head of lettuce or the bucket of grain and he goes for the bones and the meat? What determines that? His nature. His nature does. You know, Brother Ziegler, you know, we put out food plots for deer. You know, we put cameras out and we put stuff out for deer. You know, how come we're not putting like jerky out there for them to nibble on and get a picture of them? You know, we don't put out meat and say, well, put a camera right here and put a pile of meat here so the deer will. Because that's not what their nature doesn't eat. That's not what they do. You know, turkey buzzards, you've seen them, right? I mean, these turkey buzzards, I mean, I've watched them so many times, and I think to myself, they've got this good bean field. It's beautiful. I mean, Brother Ziegler's got a turnip patch. It's beautiful. You'd think the turkey buzzards would eat the standing corn. I mean, it's good stuff. But no, they don't eat on that. You know what? They're alongside the road eating off the dead stuff. I mean, they love that dead stuff. They take their beak, boom, take out the eye, and I know that's kind of gross, but man, they love it. It's like a smorgasbord just arrived on that block, that side street, that part of the woods. Why is that? It's because their nature, God designed them that way. Their nature determines their appetite. And so does yours. Your nature determines your appetite. So if you have an appetite for worldly music, you can begin to think about the kind of nature you have. If you have an appetite for Hollywood, the worldly entertainment of this world, if you have an appetite for the drugs and the drink and the alcohol and the tobacco and the gambling, I've met people with filthy habits. And they say, oh, I wish I could stop doing this. I'm like, well, it's your nature, man. You've got to change from the inside. You change your nature and you'll stop having those appetites. Are you hearing me tonight? It's amazing. I watch young people and I see them have an appetite for the house of God. It begins to tell me something about their nature. My son, Derek, he went to Colorado to elk hunt this year for 4 weeks. I've never been apart from him for 4 weeks ever. He went with a guy who's like a grandfather figure, taught me to hunt years ago, and two other older men. They're all retired. And so he was able to go between his work. And so he just went along, had a great time. He was gone for 4 straight weeks. He got home as they drove straight through from Colorado back to Pennsylvania on
on Tuesday in the morning. They left Monday morning, Sunday night, late after church, and drove all the way and got home Tuesday morning. My son Derek goes to Beavertown, God's Missionary Church, where Brother James Plank pastors. They were starting revival that night with Ron Stevens. This is my 19-year-old son who loves the outdoors, likes to be in a tree, if anywhere else. That's where he likes to be. But you know where else he wanted to be? Revival. Mom and Dad didn't take him. Mom and Dad, I had other things going on. I was in another revival elsewhere. But you know where Derek went on Tuesday night and Wednesday night and Thursday night and Friday night and Saturday night? Of course, we go to church Sunday, but you know where he went? By himself. Drove himself. You know where he went? He went to church. He went to revival meeting. Dad and Mom never told him to go to revival. He just got back from a trip, sleeping on a 5/8 piece of plywood for 4 weeks in a trailer. I told my wife, I says, I know what kind of nature Derek has. He had a desire to be in the house of God. When the lights were on, the doors were open, I said, son, I'm proud of you, man. God bless you for that. I've watched people have desire to be in prayer meeting, desire to be in camp meeting, desire to go to youth camp. Some people, you know, when I pastored, we would go visit area revival meetings. I won't exaggerate, but we probably took over 50 bus trips as a church in the 7 years I pastored there to all kinds of places. And I'd had some people, I'd say, you know, I'm going to so-and-so's in revival, and I'm going to go there, and I'm going to go there on Thursday night. Anybody want to go along? I'm going to take my car. If I have more than my car can hold, we'll take the van. And if we have more than the van can hold, we'll take the church van. And if we have more than the church, we'll take a church bus. Because I'm going to revival. And I had somebody say, why do you like to go to revival so much? I said, it's because of my appetite. I have a desire to be in the house of God. I desire to be with God's people, to hear the word preached and to hear the song sung, to be that's my desire. Why is it? Because my nature. There was a day I wouldn't want to have been in church. You see, your nature determines your appetite. What are you hungry for spiritually? It'll tell you about your nature. Second thing I notice about the ABCs of our nature, and that is your nature also determines your behavior. Your nature determines your behavior. James and LaDonna Davis, they were from California. They were one day attacked by two adolescent chimpanzees during a visit to a wildlife refuge back in the mid-2000s. They went to visit Mo. This chimp called Mo was a family pet. They had raised this chimp from a baby. He was like a human, they thought, until he began to show aggressive behavior. So they sent him on to the refuge, but they decided to bring Mo his birthday cake because it was his birthday. And they went inside the place, the refuge, and they let them, for whatever reason, go inside to give Mo, their pet chimpanzee they raised from birth, his birthday cake, only to be savagely mauled by that chimp and other chimps. Why is that? Why were they so aggressive in their behavior? Because of their nature. Their nature determined their behavior. You ever seen a killdeer bird? Aren't they amazing? I mean, I remember the first time I ever saw that. It was in Pennsylvania, of course, and I didn't know what was wrong. I kind of went up to this bush. I don't know if I was trimming it or what I was doing, but all of a sudden, this bird fluttered out and was on the ground. And I thought, oh my, that bird's wings broke. You know, it was just kind of like, you know, doing its thing. And I kind of walked over to it, and I'm like, oh, my word. And it just kept flopping around. And I'm watching this thing. I'm getting closer, you know, and it's going. And I'm following this thing, and I'm a pretty fair distance from that bush. And all of a sudden, boom, it got healed miraculously and flew off. And I thought, well, that was weird. And I told an experienced seasoned fellow about that. And he said, oh, that's a killdeer bird. And of course, now I've seen them lots of times, obviously. I begin to understand why they do that, why they behave that way. It's because, you know, if they have that nest there and they have young there to draw a predator away, they act like they're wounded. Predator gets close, but they go a little further. go a little further, and they kind of draw that predator away from the vulnerable little ones. Isn't God good? The master designer put a nature inside a killdeer bird to make it behave like that. You know, I raised over 100 pit bulls in my younger days. And I know people who say, oh, Brother Dirk, pit bulls are so gentle. They're so loving. They're so, my pit bull would never be aggressive. I say, don't kid yourself. You're lying to yourself. You're kidding yourself. They have a nature. They have a nature to be aggressive. How come, you know, isn't it amazing? How come the state police, the canine units, when they get their dogs out of the back of their big vehicles, how come it's not pit bulls that come out? How come it's not little poodles? Little Fluffy, little Fido. No, it's the kind of dogs that my son raises, these German shepherds. Why is it? Because they have a nature that determines their behavior. And they're smart. God designed them that way. And I can go on and on with illustrations and thoughts about how things behave. I enjoy the whitetail world immensely, and so do some of you. It's amazing how the nature of a white-tailed deer, their behavior is determined by their nature. You know, there's a time of the year when the bucks, when you see one, you might see four or five or eight. You know, and it's a beautiful thing. You see all these rack bucks, all the guys are hanging out together. But man, it'll come a time when they're not buddy buddies anymore. And they kind of begin to, you know, fight and push each other around and get serious about this and say, hey, she's mine and they're all mine. And I want this area. And boy, they begin to go at, why do they do that? And then there'll come a time all of a sudden they start chasing each other in the woods. The guys start chasing the girls in the whitetail world. And you've seen it and I've seen it. And it's amazing. Their nature determines their behavior. And so it does with you. Your nature determines your behavior. I know people who don't dare come to church. You know people like that. They wouldn't think of coming in the house of God. I've had them say, man, the ceiling will cave in, preacher, if I show up. Man, I don't go to church. And they give you all their excuses. Well, I know why they won't go to church. You know why? It's their fallen nature. They have no interest in the gospel. They have no interest in spiritual things whatsoever. Then I know people who only come on Sunday mornings, that Sunday morning crowd. They just show up on Sunday morning. And then I know people that it doesn't matter what the weather's like. It doesn't matter if it's snowing, raining, it's cold, windy, icy. They're going to be there. It doesn't matter. Why? Because their nature determines their behavior. I had an older couple in my church, a godly couple. I mean, I had a lot of people like that, but this particular godly couple well up in their 80s. And I knew that if we kept the doors of the church open, even though there was 8 inches of snow out there, yeah, the roads were cleared, but, you know, it was snowing really good and it was coming down. And we weren't people to close, you know, a church too much. Doesn't mean you never did, but we just rarely did. But I knew that if we didn't close, that couple would show up. I mean, they've just got a little old, like a little Chevelle they drive, a little old tiny car, and the guys with four-wheel drive trucks, you know, you 4 inches of snow, but they can't come in. It's too, you know. They got all kinds of reasons why they can't show up, but little grandma and grandpa, boy, they'll pull in. And there were times in the church that I have a number of their kids in church and their grandkids and some of those family would be on my board and they'd say, Brother Dirk, would you call mom and dad and tell them not to come to church? We're going to still have church, but tell them not to come. And so I'd call up sister and brother and sister so-and-so saints and I'd say, this is Brother Dirk. Oh, yes, Brother Dirk, it's snowing out there, isn't it? Yes, it is. And listen, we're going to still have church, but you can't come. I've had to do that a few times and they knew it was for their best interest. We couldn't risk them falling and on it goes and having an accident. But because they would try. Our valley would blow and the roads would just, you know, kind of get frozen over and kind of get deep and drift. But they would try and their little car would come putting into the church parking lot. Why do they do that? What made them drive all night to get home so they can be in revival meeting? What made them leave New York camp meeting on a Sunday afternoon and drive the 4 hours so they can get there for the pre-service prayer meeting on Sunday night when they had every reason to just go on home and go to bed? They're 85. Their nature. Their nature determined their behavior. And so it does with you as young people and with all of us as adults. Our nature determines our behavior. The third thing I want to mention to you tonight, and that is this: your nature also determines your company. Your nature determines your company. You've heard it said, birds of a feather flock together. It's amazing how we, you know, I remember being a young person going to youth camp for the very first time in my life, Brother John Ziegler. I'd showed up on the campground of Pell City, Alabama, and I wasn't a Christian. I wasn't serving the Lord. I was going to church. I was in a holiness church. I didn't know hardly anything, but I went to youth camp, and it was amazing. It didn't take long at all for me to find the fellas on the campground that didn't want to serve the Lord. The fellows that weren't going God's way. And it wasn't long at all. We became friends. We kind of buddied up. We'd sit together in the very first service. Why was that? How come I didn't get hooked up with the spiritual guys? The guys that were wanting to be respectful and go to bed and not have bad things in their room. And how come? Because my nature determined my company. It's amazing how that happens. We raised, you know, we have German shepherds, and my son he got gifted. We gifted him as a Christmas gift the first German shepherd. She came out of the Texas Mexico border where my brother and sister in law were missionaries, Michael and Crystal Mason. They were the missionaries down there, and they called us up one day and said, "Hey, somebody's selling puppies, and they have beautiful purebred shepherds." And we thought, you know, if you'd have interest. I said, "You're coming home for Christmas, aren't you?" "Yes." "I thought you said you were." I said, "Listen, I'll buy one. Buy it. I'll send you the money and bring it home for Christmas. It'll be a Christmas gift for Derek." So they brought her home. It's a female. Derek was surprised. He was about 11, 12 years old. And it was going to be great. Teach him work ethic, facts of life, give him an opportunity to learn different things. And so we got this dog, and he named her Shadow. Beautiful female shepherd, and we trained her and taught her. She had a shock collar, an in-ground fence around the 4-acre property, and I mean she was our security system and family pet, and it was great. Shadow, we moved, and Shadow had puppies with an Amish pure white 220-pound shepherd. And Derek wanted a shepherd for himself from that first litter. He wanted a white one, and sure enough, she had one of the white solid male shepherds. Puppies that were born. And so Derek claimed that one and said, "I'm going to call him Samson." And he's big. He's 120-pound, solid white as my shirt or your shirt. Beautiful dog. And then we had a friend of ours who had German shepherds out here in the state of Indiana. And he gave Derek a beautiful, traditional-looking female shepherd puppy. And Derek's goal was to have this puppy raised and Samson, and this one he'd call Sasha, and he would breed them. And it was great. It's good for Derek, and he's doing that now. But Sasha's now 3 or 4 years old. She's a female, 85, 90 pounds. Shadow is the grandmother, the mother of it all. You know what I mean? And these two females, and you know, they can't be together. I mean, there's only one alpha, not two, one. And shepherds are very territorial. They have ownership. And so we knew that. And I told Derek one time, Sasha, she got out of her pen as he opened it up to feed her. She got out. Shadow's on a shock collar running around. And these two female dogs locked on each other. And they were going to fight to the death. It was terrible what took place. And Dad, why is that? I said, their nature determines their company. And listen, there's not room for two adult female shepherds. Doesn't happen. It's like my father-in-law when I was going to marry his daughter, Michelle. And I asked him for permission to have her hand in marriage. And he said, "I have a couple of questions for you." And I said, "What are they, Brother Mason?" He says, "How do you plan to provide for my daughter?" And I told him what I was going to do. I'm going to be in the ministry. And he says, "Where do you plan to live? Because I want you to understand that there's not room in our house for two adult women families." He was letting me know right up front. You see, I didn't have any good background in that regard, so he wanted to make sure I understood that Michelle and I weren't living with them. Doesn't mean if there was a problem that we couldn't stay there a week or two, but, you know, it doesn't work that well. There's a principle there that really works. I love my mother-in-law and father-in-law. She's my favorite mother-in-law. But I understand that terminology. Our nature determines our company. Back a couple of years ago, I remember our family, we were living there at Gratz, and we're out in the country, and I was driving toward the church one day. And all of a sudden I saw it. I've seen it several times, but I saw it. And I pulled off the side road. I was a mile from the church, and I saw this white-tailed doe. She was standing up on her hind feet. And I saw her patting the top of the head of a young buck. Antlers maybe yay big. And her fawn doe was next to her, and I just saw her pat that thing and probably drove it from here to the back of the church on her hind legs. It was unbelievable. I quickly drove home, got my family, said, get in the van, get in the van. You got to see this. And we got back there, and we watched it for 10 or 15 minutes. And they said, what's she doing? I said, she's dispersing her fawn buck. Why is she doing that? I said, because her nature determines her company. I work for the Pennsylvania Game Commission in Pennsylvania. I do some work for them. And I love it. I'm a hunter trap ed instructor, and I love teaching. I love going to seminars and learning. And so I've been in a lot of different venues. And one of the things I learned was that an adult female doe will not tolerate her young male buck to breed her. Nature designed it, so she disperses them. That's why the young bucks will leave the area. And then they also try to remind us and say, hey, listen, you want the bucks to hang around, you've got to kill the mama doe. Some people don't like to hear that. I'm not here to give you a deer lesson tonight. I'm just simply telling you there's truth. Our nature determines our company, and it happens in the whitetail world. And it also happens in our world, in the human world. Our nature determines our company. Your nature will determine the kind of company you keep. For example, if you're a negative person, you know who you're going to kind of hang around a lot with? It's amazing how negative people draw in negative people. I don't have a lot of negative friends because negative people don't like to hang around me. Because I never see a stoplight. I see a go light. You see, it's just as much a go light as is it a stoplight. It's a traffic light in its technical term. But we all call it a stoplight. But I don't like to call it. I like to call it a go light because it's as green as it is red. But it's amazing how negative people kind of hang around negative people. If you're a complainer, you know what? It's amazing how easy it is for complainers to kind of be together. Yeah, I thought the same thing. I know that preacher, and boy, it's just amazing how you can complain with each other. Your nature determines your company. If you're lazy, you know what? It's amazing how you'll find the lazy people. Call for a work day. It's amazing how the people who want to work will be there. And the people who don't, won't. It happens over and over and over again. I've pastored, I've been involved. I know what I'm talking about. But you know, if you're friendly and you're kind, it's amazing how you'll find those people who are also friendly and kind and sweet-spirited. Why is that? Because our nature determines our company. I said to you tonight the ABCs, did I not? Didn't I say that? ABCs? Is it okay if I give you a D? We'll just make it the ABCDs of your nature. Because lastly tonight, your nature also determines your decisions. Determines your decisions. You want to know what kind of nature you have? Think about the decisions you make. Steve Irwin, they call him the crocodile hunter. It's a classic example of how you simply do not play with wild animals without sooner or later getting in trouble. They say he survived all kinds of snake bites and dragon attacks and spat upon by red spitting cobras and massive crocodiles pulling him into the water. And one day back in 2006, he was filming some documentary. They said the weather got bad, so he stopped filming. He decided that he would do some work for some children's thing that his little 8-year-old daughter was doing. And so he began to swim, and he spotted a 5-foot wide stingray. He began to swim with this stingray. I'm talking about your nature determines your decisions. They say stingrays are the kitty cats of the sea because they're very laid back in their nature. But if you remember the story, Steve Irwin swimming over top of that stingray. It wasn't like that stingray said all of a sudden, you know what, there's a guy swimming above me. I wonder if I should lift my tail and put my poisonous barb up into his heart and kill him. The stingray didn't think like that. Its nature determined its decision. And when Steve Irwin or any predator would get too close to a stingray, I've watched him. I've lived in Florida, and I've caught many a stingray. And it's amazing. Underneath that long tail, there's a poisonous barb with jagged edges. And so when something comes over top, instinctively, their nature determines the decision it makes. And it lifts that up and it just thrusts it upward. And that's what happened to Steve Irwin. And that barb went into his heart and killed him. You know, our nature determines our decisions. The things that we do. The decisions that we make. Somebody dates somebody that's not in victory, and yet they're supposedly in victory. Their nature determines that kind of decision. Whether they're going to stay in that relationship or not. Or they're going to be with that individual. They're going to have that job. They're going to do this or do that. Your nature determines your decisions. When somebody does evil against you, how do you respond? Your nature determines that. Somebody does you wrong, your nature determines that. If you have love for your enemy, your nature will determine that. Or whether you have hate for your enemy. Will I really sell out and take God's way? Or will I do what I want to do? I've talked to you tonight about the ABCs of your nature. Just a kind of a different thought tonight. But let me ask you in closing, as our pianist comes and just plays something softly. Have you figured out what kind of nature you have on the inside tonight? It's Saturday night. You've come to church. And before you leave, you'll have to determine in your heart what kind of nature you have. Do you have the natural one that we're all born with? That bent to do what we want to do? Don't care about the things of God? Living your own life, doing what you want to do? The natural nature? Maybe you've gotten saved. Maybe you've prayed and you've asked Jesus into your heart, but that carnal nature is there. The bent to do what you want to do, but you want to please the Lord. There's a part of you that says, I want to go God's way, but there's a part of you that wants its own way, and there's an inward struggle. That's real. Or not only do you have clean hands, but you've been sanctified holy. You have a pure heart. Because you've allowed him to cleanse your heart of that old man. The carnal nature. And he's come in his fullness and self-centeredness has been slain. And all your desire is to please him. Whatever he says is what you're going to do. Wherever he sends is where you're going to go. See, your nature determines your appetite, your behavior, your company, and your decisions. I want you to think long and hard about your nature tonight as we stand together. Different kind of message, I know, but I felt impressed from the Lord that I need to share this truth tonight on Saturday night. And if you're here tonight and you've determined, you know what? My nature isn't one that's spirit-filled and spirit-led. Boy, I couldn't think of a better place to pray and a better time to pray than tonight to ask God to take care of that nature, to help you. It may be that you need to get saved. It may mean that you really need to pray clear through and get clean hands. It may also mean that he wants to sanctify you wholly, and tonight's the night to allow him to take care of that carnal nature. You started out, you began to walk with him, you began to serve him, but boy, there's an inward battle, an inward war. Thank God there's a remedy for that, young people. You don't have to wait until you're white-haired or gray-haired to be sanctified holy. But tonight can be that night as well. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, or anybody that wants to pray on a Saturday night. On this Saturday night, anybody need to pray? God's been speaking to you about your nature. And you've recognized that, boy, I've had an appetite that's not been spiritual. I've had an appetite for the things of this world. Maybe others don't know it, but you know it and God knows it. And God's being faithful to you. Or your behavior has not been becoming to a young man or a young woman that loves God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. How have you responded to mom and dad lately? What's been your behavior at school, on the job, among your friends? It'll let you know what kind of nature you have if you just really think about it. Kind of company you're keeping, the kind of people you're hanging with, the people you're spending time with, the decisions you're making. to go God's way or to go your own way, to do His will or to do your will. God's faithful once again on a Saturday night to speak to us. And so I'm doing my best to be faithful to you as well. Anybody need to pray? Anybody want to pray? Amen. God bless you. It's just us here, Saturday night. 24 hours from now, this revival as it's scheduled will come to a close. But thank God, God continues to do works in our hearts and weeks and months down the road. But I couldn't think of a better time to pray if God's knocking and He's speaking. He's dealing with us. And we want to take care of something inside our heart. God bless you. Somebody else tonight, God's been talking to you about your appetite, your behavior, the company you're keeping, the decisions you're making. You know it. God knows it. Frankly, others know it too. That's why they're praying for you. Anybody else tonight you'd like to pray? God's being faithful. There are two that are here, but I think there may be some others that God's being faithful to. And you'd like to just step out and talk to God. Amen. Praise God. Anybody else tonight? God's dealing with you about your nature. He wants us to mature in Him. Amen. He wants us to grow in Him. Amen. We're not to stay as children spiritually, but He wants us to mature. Amen. Amen. Anybody else tonight? Just step out and let the Lord have His way. Amen. Anybody else tonight? Praise His name. I wonder if some ladies could gather in with these two that have come to pray. Maybe some fellas, let's have a closing word of prayer. Just bow your heads right where you are tonight. Those of you that are able to pray, just come in to pray with them as we close this service in prayer. Father in heaven, we bow in your presence tonight, and we're so thankful for the faithfulness of the Holy Spirit that speaks to our hearts. We thank you for these young people. We thank you for the adults that are here tonight in this service, Lord. That's been a truth that's kind of been in our heart, Lord. And you're speaking to us right where we live. We thank you for these two that have come to pray tonight. You know what they're praying about. Give them victory. Help us each, oh God, to continue to mind you, Lord. Lord, that one that's in the balance, Lord, help them, I pray, to realize that you love them, that you care for them, that, Lord, you have a plan and a purpose for their life, that you want to do something about that nature they're born with, that bent to do what they want to do, what self wants to do. Lord, you want to give them victory and lead them and allow their nature to be cleansed from all sin and to have a spirit-filled nature. Lord, you can do it, oh God. We believe it's the remedy for all of the problems of this life. Give us victory around this altar. Have your way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Let's have a good season of prayer. Thank God tonight. Praise His name. Father in heaven.